Hey, everybody.
This is Y'all,
Y'all Heard.
A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
Are not related. And this is also a podcast where we dive into the back rooms of knowledge.
Topical.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we come out alive to tell the tale and then share it with you. In other words,
we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know.
I decided to do that before we recorded, but I didn't write it down, so I didn't remember the whole thing, but I didn't want to write it down in case it went in a more exciting direction, but I think it went in a worse direction. How are you?
Yeah, we made it out alive, because we are doing this.
Made it out of what? Oh, God, what's wrong with me?
But, this week, I started my week with a flat tire, and this just calls back to last episode where driving just sucks because there's so many other things that go along with it.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know I had a flat tire until I was already driving and then the little sensor went off, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to pull over and change it on a city street.
Yeah.
So I just kept driving and I went to the tire place and they were like, we'll take your car for the day. And I'm like, cool. So they drop me off at work, but they don't come to pick you up from work. And all of my coworkers are out this week. So at the end of the day, I had to walk a mile and a half to get my car, which isn't bad, but I also haven't really done that in a long time.
Wait, your town has Ubers.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So that's your own.
I don't have an account. I'm not going to get an account just to save me a mile and a half walk because I also got Rita's.
Oh. Okay. For the record, I can call you an Uber. You could call an Uber for someone. when my husband got a flat tire and he had to leave his car, no one offered to take him to work, so he ran to work.
Oh, that's right.
Because he's like, he's all fit and shit. So good for him.
So slightly related, I thought recently, maybe I should be a hat guy. So I got a hat.
What the fuck? I wear a lot of hats, but you do not strike me as a hat guy.
I'm trying it out. So I had a hat and I wore the hat that day.
Wait, do you mean a baseball cap?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
And then I walked over to the tire place to get my car. And my hat was completely soaked.
Oh, yeah, that's the only thing. It doesn't help you when it's hot.
Yeah, I was like, this is stupid. Why? I thought you were supposed to put this on your head to protect your head. But so anyway.
It's good for when the sun is bright, but it's not 90 degrees.
Yeah.
If you said you were a hat guy and you didn't mean a baseball cap, I would have an intervention with you.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. I thought I'd start wearing hats and dusters.
Yeah, I would call your mom. I am fine. I have really nothing else to say except every day I wake up and start looking at people's backrooms theories, and then my husband comes home from work and then I tell him, and then he does his best to go like, oh, he hated that movie so much. And I have no one else to tell. So, yep, that's it. I just texted someone. Do you think this theory's right? All I do is look at backrooms theories. I'm thinking of whether or not I should buy the backrooms soundtrack on vinyl. Anyway, let's go on to an ice cream.
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, well, you know what? None of that should surprise you, though. That's not intervention worthy. This seems on par for me, I would say.
Now, these are all theories about the movie, or is it about the Backrooms universe?
No, not about the Backrooms universe. About the movie, because Backrooms universe, liminal space theories expand beyond Kane Parsons, everyone. So I don't necessarily take what he takes as canon. But yeah, about the movie.
But the movie is.
Anyway.
I read that he wanted to make it so that the YouTube stuff that he did didn't deviate when he made the feature length movie, that like they were in the same universe.
I did hear people say that there was stuff to show that it was in the same universe, but I still haven't seen the YouTube videos because I wasn't sure if that was the case and I didn't want to like fuck up the movie for myself. So maybe I'll watch them.
Great to fall asleep to.
You shut the fuck up.
Icebreaker.
I am an icebreaker. It's not the most exciting, but I feel like we're negative a lot. So tell me two simple things that bring you joy. Simple pleasures, if you will.
So they got this. I was at the grocery store and they have Halo Top, which some people might not like, but
yeah.
I didn't like them the first time I had them, but I still ate them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then they fixed the problem where it didn't get, like, it didn't feel creamy. It felt like, I don't know, like maybe like a frozen, like a super frozen sherbet. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so they have a new thing called PB cookie dough and fudge.
Oh, okay.
And so I picked one of those up and it was good.
Okay. One more. By the way, I will just say, if you need a low sugar ice cream, if that's why you have that, I find Nick's ice cream, if you can find it, better. I find it much better.
My mom's a big Nick's fan.
Yeah, I have four cartons of it right now. And it's only for me, not Aaron.
How about you do one?
Okay. I feel embarrassed to admit this one because it's so like, really? Oh, really? You just found this now? And two, I don't know if I mentioned that my gynecologist, who I've only met once, told me about it, but I really like watching girls. The Lena Dunham Show, which I've never seen before. Now it's almost done, so that simple pleasure is about to be done, but it's been bringing me a lot of joy. Okay,
that's
now
good.
Your turn.
We both did junk food first.
Yep.
Oh. You talked about simple pleasures. There's this show on Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Tubi, but it's not like a Tubi original.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Jerry O'Connell. Okay. And it's called Carter, which makes it really hard to like look up and find information on because it's just called Carter.
Okay.
And he stars in it. And he is, in the show, he's an actor who plays a detective, but then he goes back to his small town home.
Mm-hmm.
And he is friends with like one of the cops. And so he ends up going on cases and it's only two seasons and there's 10 episodes apiece. So it's just really easy to watch. You inspired me. It's certainly not as edgy as Lena Dunham.
I will just say I am in between careers right now, and that is the opportunity I'm waiting for someone to take me on cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming. I know it's coming. I can't drink as much anymore. Not by choice. I'm not trying to be sober. I want to make it clear. Because my medication makes it very difficult. So the only thing with a bit of a bite to it, what I am drinking slightly still. I'm not sober. But if I want something that has an edge, because that's the thing, like, nothing has an edge when you're drinking mocktails. Mocktails could fuck themselves.
Yeah, but you got girls.
Well, I also have sugar-free Red Bull, which has just enough stank on it to feel like it's something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually drinking one right now, and it's mellowing me out as a human.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what Red Bull's supposed to do.
It's taking the edge off. Anyway, what's your topic? Because Pete has to do a topic again this week.
It's taking the weight off because it gives you wings.
There we go.
What? I'm sorry, what flavor was that again?
Oh, it's actually funny you ask, because normal sugar-free Red Bull doesn't have a flavor, but this is a flavored one. It's iced vanilla berry.
Oh, I thought you said like a fruit before you said sugar-free, but okay.
No, but this coincidentally is, and it's blowing my mind, and it's blue, and I'm never going to buy a different Red Bull again. And if this is limited edition, I'm going to kill everyone.
So if Marissa stops speaking, it's because she is blissed out.
Yep.
So this week, I kind of found myself going in one direction. And then, as you guys know, finding different paths along the way. So I'm going to start down one of those side paths. Marissa, do you remember any... Well, I know this is kind of a risk. But when it comes to college, do you remember anything about any of the food?
Yeah.
What do you remember?
I ate a lot of pizza.
That's right.
One time I ate moussaka.
Don't know what that is.
It's some like eggplant bechamel sauce thing, which I don't know why I ate that. And they had build your own deli sandwiches, but mostly I just ate pizza and I gained 15 pounds like a cliche.
So, do any of these businesses mean anything to you then? Sodexo, Aramark, or Chartwell's?
The first two, 100%.
Okay. And they are?
Aren't they like the larger company that supplies the food or whatever?
There you go. Yeah, they provide dining services to educational institutions.
Okay.
I didn't really love our college food, but I was on a meal plan, so I had to eat it.
Yeah.
We didn't have a build your own deli sandwich.
Can I just interject really quick to say I had a dining plan too, but it only gave you like you'd get whatever you want on weekdays, but you just had like a little bit of money on weekends.
Yeah.
And it would deplete if you bought stupid shit. And at a point I no longer had dining money because I kept buying Red Bull.
And here we are.
Continue.
Thanks for bringing that around, Marissa.
You're welcome.
At times, I, too, would use the sort of, like, flex cash options where, like, you didn't have to go to the cafeteria. You could go to one of the other places on campus. Or they had the convenience store that also kind of went against your meal plan. If you didn't want to pay cash, you could use that. But you know who owns the convenience store?
No.
It's the company that runs the dining services.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So they kind of have you cornered. And many of these companies come into a school and they usually keep employees, bring in new management, and the employee doesn't work at the school anymore. They work for this big company now.
Okay.
So if the big company needs to make cuts, they pay the price.
Okay.
So here are some schools that work with Aramark. Florida State University, Boston University, they all end in university. Florida, Boston, Clemson, Georgetown, Purdue, University of Virginia, Howard, and Drexel. These aren't small schools. They might even be, some of them might be small in size. I don't really know, but their tuition ranges from $50,000 to $100,000 annually.
Okay.
So a lot of them make you buy a meal plan. So you don't have to eat there, but you're paying for it. So you might as well.
They make you buy a meal plan?
Yeah.
What the fuck? How? What are the grounds for that?
It's part of room and board.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. They just sort of throw it in there. Or in some cases, it's like, well, you have to opt out of it. Otherwise, it's just in there.
Got it. Okay.
Or if you have like an extenuating, like if you live off campus, you wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So this reminds me a little bit what I described of the company store model from coal mining days. You work for a company that owns the store, so you don't even actually need to get a paycheck. You can just trade your work in for goods.
Mm.
And if you say, just pay me in cash and I'll manage my own money, that's okay. But you still have to buy it from them because they're the only store in town.
Yeah.
And they'll probably charge you more money for cash transactions just to stick it to you a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it.
So this took me down the path that this took me to where I wanted to start, which is that I don't know if I said so. on the podcast before, but an old friend of mine is 4 years into a 7 to 15 year sentence for third degree murder of her boyfriend.
Do I know who this person is?
I don't think you know who the person is.
Oh, okay.
But I did tell you that that I had a friend in prison.
And wait, I'm sorry. No offense. That's not the first friend in prison.
True. We don't have to get into the details because we are not a true crime podcast. But over the years, I wondered what day-to-day life must look like inside. They're serving at a white-collar prison. I'm sorry. White-collar isn't the right word. I learned different things, and I still have some old things in my head. They're at a low security? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A low security prison. So okay. That honestly makes me more intrigued.
Wait, why though? They killed their boyfriend? I'm sorry if you told me this and I forgot. Why would they be in a low security prison? That's a pretty bad crime.
There were extenuating circumstances, which is why it's third degree murder and not first degree murder.
Okay, gotcha.
So I actually, you know, like every time you see, I shouldn't say every time, but most of the things that I remember where you see prison portrayed on TV, it's like maximum security and like people are getting shanked and stuff. And I'm more like, I wonder what it's like in low security though,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, you just go about your day. You're just kind of like stuck inside. Sometimes I just feel like that in general. Not saying that I should go to, you know, minimum security prison and try it out. But anyway, this March, Marissa, according to theappeal.org, this March, incarcerated people in West Virginia filed a federal lawsuit alleging that the largest prison food provider in the country, Aramark, fails to offer adequate meals in the cafeteria while charging high prices for fresh produce and snacks in the commissary.
Wait, who sued them? Inmates or the prison?
The inmates.
Inmates need to pay for their meals? Or is it, the commissary.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So imagine, if you will, you go to get your food for lunch and they like throw down some really goopy potatoes and applesauce. Yeah. And they're like, enjoy. And you're like, wait a minute. I'm not getting nutrition from this.
Yeah.
And then like right next door, they got like a sweet looking BLT and you're like, I want that BLT. Well, you got to pay for that out of cash. Like you got to pay for that extra.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where they're at, but they run the commissary and they run the, I guess, food services.
Oh, so
one way or another, they're getting your money.
Ugh.
For years, incarcerated people, correctional officers, and state officials from across the country have accused Aramark of serving inedible or spoiled food prepared in kitchens. I'm only going to say this once, Marissa, so I'm sorry, but I have to say it. There were multiple times where I could say it. I'm only going to say it once.
What?
Prepared in kitchens where workers have allegedly found maggots.
Holy fuck, how is this? Fuck them. I hope what? They should be jailed. Fuck that. Oh, God, that's so disgusting.
Including in Ohio, where the state levied $272,000 in fines for contract violations.
Holy shit.
In one highly publicized incident in a Michigan prison, an Aramark employee told an incarcerated worker to serve cake that had been partially eaten by rodents.
I hope they win that lawsuit. Fuck Aramark. I was going to say worse things, but I realize I have to, in a post-Luigi Mancioni world, I can't just be throwing around things loosely.
There was a major riot at Kentucky's North Point Training Center on August 21st, 2009. It resulted in 16 injuries and the destruction of several buildings critical to the prison's operation. The riot was the second serious incident at the facility in as many years, and both involved food-related issues. There were also issues about healthcare and other things that made the prisoners riot, but food was on the list. One officer said the food was slop. That was a guy who worked for the prison.
Wow.
2 years prior, 60 to 70 prisoners at North Point, where this riot took place, staged a peaceful sit-in in the rec yard to complain about the prison's food and commissary prices. An accreditation team that visited the facility a year later noted that a common theme of complaints was about the quality of food services and the canteen prices. Prisoners and their family members who contacted Lexington's Herald leader said food-related issues continued to be a source of unrest and were a factor in the riot.
Oh, man.
There were about 900 inmates in this riot.
Wow.
And they managed to cause $10.8 million in damage.
Why the fuck do these people keep hiring Aramark to do this shit?
State Representative...
low-key deserve it.
State Representative... The other part I feel about that is like, well, I guess you do maybe attack the prison because the prisons who signed the contract and.
Yeah. Cause what else are you going to do? I'm sorry. I might be sounding kind of radical, but like what options? Like, no one gives a shit about prisoners. This is all they have to do.
And if you can't, like if you go, well, I'm just not going to eat that and you starve and die, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you're, and again, you can complain to your loved ones and contact newspapers, but, yeah, so when it comes to internal action, I guess that is your best bet.
Yeah.
State Representative Brent Yontz filed a bill that would cancel the $12 million annual contract of the Philadelphia-based Aramark Correctional Services food provider for Kentucky prisons. It failed. Aramark is still the provider.
Why does Aramark have a fucking monopoly on all that shit? I don't get it.
Me neither. But I will say that I looked up Sodexo, and Sodexo says, no, we don't do prisons.
Okay.
We do educational institutions and sometimes hospitals.
I was just trying to see who handled food for the government. utility I used to work at because there were roaches in that place. And I was like, maybe that's Aramark, but it just says third party. Maybe they're keeping that close to the vest.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
When plaintiff Marcus P. McKinley first arrived at Mount Olive Prison, the daily food services included a wide variety of fresh meats, real dairy, and eggs and vegetables.
Nice.
The suit says. Which was filed by the National Consumer Law Center and others. Now, most of the meat that Aramark serves is in the form of processed pellets, and the eggs are bagged eggs.
What the fuck, a processed pellet?
Yeah.
Everyone who works at Aramark should be forced, not everyone who works
to eat it.
The CEOs should be forced to eat it.
Yeah. And nothing but for like at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So McKinley ends up spending approximately $50 to $60 per month on food himself out of pocket. And that's more than 70% of his monthly income. Another plaintiff, William R. Johnson, who was incarcerated at Mount Olive from 2009 to 2025, spent nearly his entire monthly paycheck of $68 on food from the commissary. Now again, you can think of this as, you could think of this as Marissa's situation. Well, we gave you water. Yeah, but I want sugar-free Red Bull. So I'm going to go over there. I'm going to buy it out of pocket. But
it's not the same. It's not.
It's,
like,
not.
It's like we gave you water with maggots in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. This makes me really sad because you might be like, oh, maybe they shouldn't have committed a crime. Like, think a little deeper, bitch.
Yeah, think about human beings in the first place, but also think about how many people are advised by their counsel to take a plea deal in a situation because, you know, there's a good chance that even though the evidence isn't, you know, rock solid, there's a good chance you're probably not going to win if we go to trial.
Yeah, you could be innocent.
Serve a few years and, you know, we'll see on the other side.
It could have been complicated. It could have been self-defense. fence and you were being abused. There's like a thousand things that it could be other than you're a fucking suck ass person who deserves to be in jail. And even then, if they're going to be feeding you maggots, like I'm sure half the people would probably like prefer to just like fucking die if they're going to be eating maggots all fucking day. Like what the? So if we're keeping these people alive, I think they deserve to be treated humanely. Like what the fuck?
Yeah. Aramark has taken control of every channel people in prison have of receiving food, they wrote in the lawsuit. Plaintiffs cannot weigh alternative options for buying food. They only have one option, Aramark. Now, I guess capitalism.
Yeah, of course. That's all it is.
But like if we, I guess we're not in jail and that's the argument somebody would make, but it's like, but if we only had one option, we could all just only go to Walmart and there were no other options. You couldn't even grow food on your own. Like, people would not be happy with that.
No, of course not.
Theappeal.org did a study of prices in 2024. And I had the idea of doing this show probably like early last year, but I just didn't get around to it. Okay. So now you can look at our back catalog and see all the stupid shit that I bought. But the thing is, their base prices in this report don't feel right because shit's so expensive right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So keep that in mind as if some of this sounds a little off. But in one example, Indiana prisons charged about $33 for an 8-inch fan, even though a similar item sells online for about $23 at Lowe's. Oh. In some ways, I'm like, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
$10. You know, if you're good at math, that is, I'm not good at math, at least a 33%, you know, upcharge. But anyway, incarcerated people in the state, who are often confined to dangerously hot prisons in the summer, can earn as little as 30 cents an hour, meaning it could take more than 100 hours of work to afford a fan.
And I could see the argument that it's like, oh, you know, they should have to, or whatever, just someone not caring because they're in prison. But again, I'm so fixated on the food thing being like, there's maggots. If it was like, oh, they don't like the choice of food, suck it up, that's one thing. But if they're eating stuff that could get them sick, that's a whole nother thing. And yeah, the temperatures are probably oppressive. Like if we had humane prisons, that'd be one thing. But we don't. We're known for having fucking suck-ass prisons. So that is why this is all fucking out of control.
The appeals investigation also showed that prisoners can be charged vastly different prices for similar religious items depending on their faith, with wide variations across states. In Connecticut, the Bible sells for $4.55, but the Quran, there's only one version available, and it costs $26.
Yeah, of course, that would be what it's like in our fucking country.
Especially also, in Connecticut.
I thought you were going to say that prisons had dynamic pricing, where they could charge people different prices for things depending on what they thought they would spend, which, okay. Honestly, I wouldn't have even been that surprised.
No. Yeah, they have surge pricing. In Florida, based on another story from the Prison Journalism Project, I just picked these four things because they blew my mind.
In Florida, a Quran costs like $1,000, right? That's what I would assume.
I don't have that one, but.
Okay.
So, okay, Marissa, you're in prison and you know what? You're not in prison, okay?
Okay.
I'm freeing you, Marissa.
Okay, thank you.
How much money would you pay? Pretend, of course, that you can eat this if you can't. But how much would you pay for a mayonnaise packet?
A packet?
Yeah, like, you know, one of those.
If I'm saying that you're like really fucking like the most I'd be willing, though this is overpriced, is a dollar, though I think it should be like 20 cents.
Oh,
the most
okay.
I'd be willing is a dollar.
So the old price before recent increases was a nickel.
Oh, okay. See, I think that's fair, but I just assume capitalism. So I don't even go to what's actually fair. I go to what I think people are willing to milk out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, nickels, great. That's fair.
Yeah, that would be 3 hours of work to pay a dollar for it.
Oh shit. Yeah.
But the new price of a mayonnaise packet is 12 cents.
Okay. So I'm sorry. You said you freed me. So I was thinking of I make 30 cents on the dollar or in the hour or whatever.
This is a bad Price is Right pitch. Sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
Saltine crackers. You know, the little 4 ounce. What is that? You get two crackers.
That should be a penny.
$1.06.
Wait. What? That's substantially more than a mayonnaise packet?
I don't know why.
Okay.
Unless it's more than two. Maybe it's like one of the small sleeves.
Okay, I would hope so.
You could get a small sleeve at the dollar store, so maybe it is closer to that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Well, now it costs $2.80. So,
I mean, it fucking better be a whole sleeve. If I had to pay $2 for two fucking crackers, no wonder there'd be riots.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to the best one yet. Which I think you're going to freak out a little bit at.
Okay.
AA batteries were $1 for two, and now it's $2.80, so that also went up. But Marissa, how much would you pay for a ketchup packet from Heinz?
The exact same amount I would pay for mayonnaise.
No.
Okay.
It's actually less.
Oh. Wait, what?
You would pay 2 cents for a ketchup packet.
I mean, okay, see, that's fair. Mayonnaise should also be 2 cents, but okay.
But they increased the price 400%. So now you have to drop a whole dime if you want a packet of ketchup.
And wait, how much do people make an hour?
Like 30 cents.
Yeah, fuck it. Okay, that's fucking... What? Okay, that's fucking stupid, but okay.
There is another publication where they talked about reading glass. This one talks a little bit more about what something costs outside of jail and what something costs in jail. So maybe I should have gone with this first.
Based on what you told me, I assume reading glasses cost $1 million in jail.
They cost $12, okay. Which they perceive as a 325% markup. And it's like, if you were in a tourist town and rich people came to your town to buy stuff, yeah, I'm going to mark it up because these people can afford it. But really, you're going to price gouge people in jail?
Yeah, but also like, I know that's not an absolute, like 100% absolute necessity, but it's like a little bit of a necessity. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need mayonnaise, but if you can't read without reading glasses, I feel like reading glasses should be cheaper 100%. I don't even think you should necessarily have to pay for that. But anyway.
If you wanted to get beef ramen, this place says that retail, it would be 33 cents. And in jail, it would cost you $1.10.
I actually don't agree you could get ramen for 33 cents anywhere anymore, though.
Yeah, that's why some of this stuff seems a little off. And for oatmeal, they say 27 cents, and that in jail it would cost 82 cents.
Yeah, again, I don't agree you could get a
There's
pack.
Something about ramen and oatmeal. It seems like they sell really well in prison.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
So, this leads me to something else that I discovered along the way, which is from The Guardian, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is not written by someone whose purpose of the publication is to shine a light on like prison issues. Many prisoners clean toilets and prep food with no pay.
What the fuck? Why?
Since the state of Florida charges you $50 a day for incarceration.
What?
You are charged $50 a day. So if you do $50 of work, you broke even. 43 states and Washington, D.C. do the same thing, but they might have different rates.
I'm sorry. What? So those those are the only states that charge you to be in prison or what?
Florida, I'm sorry. Not including Florida, 43 states and Washington, D.C.
43?
Yeah.
Wait, okay. But then, so then when you do that unpaid, it goes towards what you owe?
Yeah.
But then, okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm stupid. I didn't know that.
Shelby Hoffman served 10 months of a 7-year sentence before she was released. She said, to my knowledge, I paid everything off, completed every term that was on paper. I petitioned the courts to get off probation. Okay. And the judge clapped for me and said, you, out of anybody, deserve this. Congratulations, Ms. Hoffman. When I got released from prison, he wrote me a handwritten Christmas card telling me he knew I could do it.
Oh, okay.
But after the 7-year sentence, which is 6 years after she got out of jail, she got a bill in the mail for $127,000.
What?
Because you're charged based on your sentence, not your stay.
What? Holy fuck, that should not be legal.
Hoffman hired an attorney in an attempt to modify her incarceration costs to the 10 months that she was in prison, because the first thing out of you and my mouth, Marissa, we don't share a mouth, but you know what I mean. I didn't say it right. But the first thing we would say is, I wasn't there. I'm not responsible for paying $50. Whoever was in that bed should be paying the $50, not me.
What the fuck?
The judge denied the motion. Basically, she was willing to pay for the 10 months because she understood, why it was getting charged or whatever. Yeah. But the judge denied the motion, pointing to a state law that says a court may not modify a legal sentence imposed more than 60 days after the imposition.
What the fuck, man?
And as I said before, incarceration costs are based on the length of the sentence imposed by the court at the time of sentencing.
Okay, so then, I'm sorry. So if you're sentenced to life in prison, no one is actually going to pay that, though, right? Like, because then you just die. Or then you just die in prison.
And this is what sucks for Florida and other states, because they can't collect on the debts.
Yeah.
It's actually people like Shelby Hoffman who, after getting out of jail, having served 10 months, she, if you read her story, she had a rough upbringing, the usual. And she was on drugs one night and she stole something.
Mm-hmm.
And she got, and then she tried to pawn it. And so she cleaned herself up. She's got a husband. She's got a kid. She's got a house. She's got all this stuff. And then she gets this bill. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just walk around with this idea of like, how am I ever going to get ahead?
Yeah, that would just incentivize you just going to prison forever because then you're just going to be in debt fucking always if you get out. That's a fucked up system. Because also, if you're not getting paid in prison, how the fuck do they expect you to have any money to pay that off?
Right. That's what I was thinking. I was like, well, if you were injured or, and you couldn't work or, any number of different things, I'm thinking injured and sick just because there are reasons that I think normal people take off at work. Yeah. Obviously you can't take a vacation day, but
yeah.
Since the people can't pay back the debt, it just is listed as debt on their sort of, I guess you could say credit report. I mean, it's just, I didn't finish that sentence in my head. So I just meant it's listed as debt on that person. Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry. So in the countries, states where you're charged per day, do you make that amount per day?
You could.
But like, or do you make 30 cents per hour?
See, that's what throws me off, because if it's $50 a day and you're making 30 cents an hour, that doesn't shake out.
No!
We got too in the weeds on injustice and forgot that you get paid 30 cents an hour because the rest of the money is going towards your $50 a day. That's how they can justify paying as low as 30 cents per hour.
What?
But even if you were earning $50 a day, you don't have to work on the weekends.
So that should not be a thing unless it actually, like, you make that amount per day and you're going to be squared away because you did work for the prison.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck. But also, like, who's actually paying this? Like, the people who go to prison don't have this kind of money. So it's just, like, just fucking them over for the rest of their life. But then you're probably not actually getting that money. This sounds like a fucking scam, man.
But the idea behind it is that taxpayers shouldn't have to bear the burden of people going to prison. The prisoner should bear the burden.
I understand the concept behind it.
Right.
But it doesn't seem
it, like... It doesn't make any damn sense.
No.
Because especially...
One of the states that...
I don't know.
Okay.
Your earning potential is likely very limited with a prison sentence in your history. And... You know, like that on top of the fact that if you can get a job, it's probably not going to be the highest paying job for you to, especially for this woman to pay down $127,000.
Yeah.
So it's all just a mess and it all seems pretty screwed up, but you know, if it does say go on your credit report that you owe money to the state or something like that, that's another way that you can't get ahead. Now you have a screwed up credit report that you're never going to get out of. And look, I'm just going based off of caricatures from TV, but like you would get out of prison. You would say, I need this money to pay off my time in prison. Maybe I should commit another crime so I can get the money to do this. Obviously, if you're committing a crime, you're not doing it so you can pay off your prison bill.
Yeah.
It could maybe make you do some illicit things that you could be arrested for. Even though they don't really feel like, you know, a big deal, like selling prescription pills or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a loved one who's in prison and you want them to eat real-er food, then the burden falls to the family. It falls to you to send your hard-earned money to them to help.
Yeah.
However, JPay, which is not Japan Pay.
Okay.
JailPay.
JailPay, yeah, okay.
Charges you, you know, like a pretty hefty rate, like surcharge to send the money. Audio calls to stay in touch with your loved one are 11 cents a minute. I didn't think any phone calls were per minute cost anymore.
No, me neither. What the fuck?
If you want to do a video call, it's 23 cents per minute.
Whoa.
And sending an email to your loved one could be anywhere from 35 to 50 cents.
Oh.
This is completely legal thanks to the FCC. So even staying in touch with your loved ones, if you just want to watch them waste away because you don't want to send them any money, you can't do that for free either.
I had no idea.
As far as Aramark goes, they paid off some prisoners in Michigan when they sued. Inmates sued that they got sick from food poisoning. And after a little bit of a trial, I think, they settled and paid off the prisoners.
Good.
In Mississippi, the state wanted to end the contract, but they couldn't get out of the contract, which seems messy.
Why does Aramark have so much power?
Right? Maybe it would cost more money to get out of the contract than they still had on the contract.
Okay. Okay.
But so they had to wait for the contract to end, and then they didn't renew it. Because the company was quote unquote serving spoiled, rotten, molded, or uncooked food.
Why are just the inmates suing? Why are like I feel like the jail should be suing and that everyone should be suing them.
Yeah, like I don't know. Maybe you just don't go down there because it's not run by you. You're like, well, we outsource this, so it's up to them.
God.
Experts say that food is just one sector of a larger prison services industry that siphons wealth from some of the country's poorest communities. Family members of incarcerated people have reported going into debt from the costs of phone calls and visits or working multiple jobs to afford them. So
everything. I hate this country.
So that's a little bit about what it costs, I guess, to be in jail.
That's funny that my icebreaker was just about simple joys, because we just talked about big fucking terrors in this episode.
I kind of hoped that your outrage might, you know, lend a little bit of comedy to things.
Oh, man. You know what? I don't think I had enough comical outrage, because it was just too depressing.
Yeah.
Which I will say, I don't even remember doing this, but one of our listeners told me I don't know if they said they almost spit out their drink or something when I was saying, what did I say? Too bad for you, you stupid bitch, or something to the about the enhanced games people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it has to be upsetting, but not so depressing for me to have comical outrage. This, I'm just disturbed. Deeply, deeply disturbed.
I was more just, bothered by the fact that in this day and age where, look, let me sound like a naive moron for a little bit, where we believe in fair trade and market competition and different things like that, that, a company can come in and just be the be all end all of nutrition for these people.
I didn't even know that. Like, I don't even think, what? Oh, God.
It's time for plugs.
So, when it comes to plugs, I thought, well, to be topical, maybe I could plug something about prison. But I don't want to plug anything heavy, because we just talked about all this stuff.
Well, plug your friend's prisons.
So I wanted to plug the movie Death Race with Jason Statham.
What's the name of that movie that's half of Grindhouse? It's not Death Race?
I know. I can't remember the name of it either, though.
Is it Death? I thought it was Death Race. But okay, anyway, continue. Because I so fucking hate that.
Death Proof.
I fucking hate it.
But it was about a car, okay. So that makes sense.
Okay.
Death Race stars Jason Statham, and he plays a guy who races a car. He's in prison, and each time you win the race, you get time off of your sentence. And I think if you win like 5 or 7, then they let you go free.
Isn't that a remake of something?
It's a remake of the movie Death Race.
Okay.
Which both of them have sequels as well. And you know, I can't mention prison movies without mentioning the Bob Odenkirk classic, Bob Odenkirk directed classic, Let's Go to Prison, which neither one of these is available streaming anywhere for free. So that might tell you a little bit about it.
Okay.
But if you want to come to my place and watch them on physical DVD, let me know.
All right. Would I like that?
I think you'd think it's stupid. You'd laugh at some stuff, maybe.
Okay. By the way, guys, this is a question. It's not my plug. What do you think of Orange is the New Black? I was really invested in it until after the riot and they were all put in maximum security prison, and then I found it intolerable, so I don't even know how it ends. But did you watch this ever?
I watched the first season, and then I kind of lost touch.
Okay,
I think because I found the blonde lady so boring.
Yeah, she was really not boring, but intolerable to me.
Yeah.
My plug is just going to be Backrooms, guys. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to people about it. I want to think about it every day of my life. I want to have discussion groups. So watch it and then tell me you watched it and then we'll talk. I thought it was fantastic. One of our viewers also thought it was fantastic. Thank you, Michael Stinson, for watching it.
I don't like you saying that it's fantastic.
Why? Why? Because
if you said, I found it fascinating, or I found it very discussion worthy.
Well, I said like, what I said, and I'm not telling you
that. I know. I'm not telling you to change it. I feel like fantastic is a little much.
Okay. Well, shut up. Leave me alone.
Because you could certainly find it, because you could certainly talk about it whether you liked it or not.
Well,
and I don't hate it. I just honestly expected something more, more.
I would say it was brought to my attention
the possible problems of the problematic character being a black male. But sort of that, no notes. No notes for the whole movie.
A black male who's also a fantastic actor, though. So he could have just gotten the part on his acting merit.
I know that was the thing that I was saying that, that
but also, that, yeah, in the end, it doesn't look good. So maybe he should have done it in white-faced.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, exactly what you said though. Like that kind of, it kind of like,
he is a fantastic actor.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can take it, but I could see why it's problematic. But at the same time, the reason I wanted to watch it was because it starred Chiwetel Ejiofor. I'm sure it's not how you say his name. Somebody correct me. Call us at 570-POD11 and tell me how you say his name.
This needs to be an audio call, okay?
Yep.
Tell you one thing. I did not like the therapist.
Why? I liked it too.
I didn't like how she was running for the whole third act.
I wish we saw the movie together and then discussed it afterwards.
It would have been more fun, especially if you were having a good time.
Oh, I was having such a good time. And did I know my husband was going to say, I hate this movie? Yes. But I at least... No, my husband was exactly the way I thought it was going to be, which is why I wish I saw it with someone else, and he knows that. Because I said, I don't want to watch it with you. And he goes, yep, you should probably watch it with someone else. But it didn't work out, so
he said, you don't drive. How are you getting to see it?
No, I take Ubers, but we concluded it would have been painful for me to watch it by myself because then I wouldn't have anyone to talk to. So at least now I just have someone who hates it to talk to. Anyway, guys, besides calling us at 570-POD11, you could email us at...
Yeah, you could email us the audio message that tells us how to say his name. At y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
Also, you can email us your takes on Backrooms if you have any, if you've seen it. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/y'allheard.
Coming up this month, I'm going to ruin the movie Speed Demon if you want to make sure you can watch it ahead of time if that's what you want to do. But again, the purpose of the show is that I ruin it for you so you don't have to watch it. But this one, I actually liked. So...
Can you also do a Patreon exclusive where you review the video of Speed Demon Michael Jackson's song?
I haven't done a reaction video in a long time.
Can you do that, please? Because I'm assuming you saw it already as a child, but I forgot what it was like. And I was like, whoa. So yes, that's my request, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
All right.
Guys, also, I am probably going to, well, I applied to do a really big Halloween fair with my pumpkins and zines this year, and my zine will hopefully be coming out earlier this year. So if you give a shit about any of the little bullshits I make, make sure you're following me at Riss Vandal on Instagram. Guys, thank you for listening. I will talk to you soon. Bye.